All right, this morning our scripture is Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. I also thought it was interesting in that very first verse of that hymn, it said, Lord, cast down all my idols. Do you remember what the last 2 weeks we've talked about? We talked about, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We talked about what an idol was. We talked about how graven images in the King James Version actually has the connotation of something that was made to worship, not just something that was made. Okay? And so this is one of the things that I want you to realize, that because of that lack of possible understanding of going back and researching the Hebrew, there are those who struggle with even making a doll. And the Amish will not put a face on the doll because of that scripture. But the Hebrew understanding was that you were making something into an idol. Yes, it was made by your hands, but it was made for the purpose of worship. All right? So we're going to move on this week, and we're going to look at now Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or your female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Now, we're going to try to look what I believe was the main point that God was trying to get across to us. One was that he blessed the Sabbath day, and number two was that he made it holy. Now, we know from the New Testament that it says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God didn't create the Sabbath and then make man. You remember the order? On the sixth day, man was made. So man was already made when God created the Sabbath. And he said, when I created the Sabbath, I knew you would need it, and I made it for you. And he blessed the Sabbath, and he made it holy. And you're going to hear that phrase a lot, but we're going to talk about what that phrase in a little while. But I want us to recognize that he starts giving parameters or giving things that will protect the Sabbath. As I grew up, I had this struggle with the Sabbath because I heard don't. How many of us love to hear the word don't? As a kid, our parents are saying don't. Why? Because they love us. Because it's for our good. Because there's something that we're violating that will harm us. That's why the word don't. But we have this immediate gut reflex of rebellion. Well, guys, I'm here to tell you the scripture also tells us that rebellion is just as bad as the sin of witchcraft. Remember that scripture? Okay. We need to deal with rebellion in our lives. When we hear the word don't and our gut reflex is, okay, I'm going to do it anyway, then we better have a red flag raised up, and it better be, okay, God, you're trying to teach me about rebellion. So, as God started giving these Ten Commandments, he had talked about how important it was to have the relationship with him. And then he says, and I made this special time for you. And these are the things that you need to do to protect that time. He says, you've got 6 days to get your work done. If you don't have it done in 6 days, let it rest till the first day of the week. That's what he says. All right? Protect this time. Why? Because there's a blessing for you. There's a blessing for you. So protect this time so that you can commune with me. One of the things that I'm trying to do every Friday night as the sun goes down is to change my whole focus. And so during the week, I record, and you may not care for these particular people, but they're people that I have enjoyed listening to and have been challenged with. Perry Stone from Manifest. I have recorded Hal Lindsey, and also, come on, babe.
It's Supernatural with Sid Rock.
And there's one other one.
And Max Lucado.
Max Lucado. I have all of those recorded, so what do? I start on Friday night letting the people of God start ministering to me so that I can hear the Word of God and be challenged. Now, some of those people deal with end times. Some of those people deal with our nation and the sin that our nation is so easily being encompassed by. But others of those, Max Lucado is especially one who constantly gives you an uplifting sermon. God wants to do this in your life. He's going to provide this. And so these are wonderful. These are some of the ones that I like. Now, I also, and I haven't got this one recorded, John Hagee is another one who talks about end times. So that's one I'm going to add to that. And then I try to mix it up so I'm not only hearing Hal Lindsey, who is constantly pointing out the sin. Do we need to know about the sin? Yes. Why? For our own protection. Not to condemn us. Jesus said, God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I have not come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Do you hear that? We need to get that whole context. We hear John 3:16, we don't hear 17. Jesus came because God wanted to establish what is right. He came because he wanted to protect us from what sin would do. And this is why God said the Sabbath is important. Why? Because you need it. Guys, you're only partially living if you don't have God every moment of every day. And if you don't take that special time to commune with him. Now, I went back to the Hebrew this week, and one of the things that really struck me was that the term blessed, the original term, is not what I think of when someone says, God bless you. Okay? This is what the term blessed means. To bend the knee. So, when God blessed the Sabbath day, do you see him doing this? So what was it that God meant when he said you need to bend the knee? Because it's blessed, because it's been sanctified? Okay, now let's take this a little further and see if we can think this through. When we interpret Scripture, it is very important. I have been taught from the time I was yay high to a grasshopper. Context, context, context. Ever heard that before? Look at the Scriptures around it. What is being said? Because it is the context that will help you to define what is being meant. So what is the context of this Scripture? He had just given them a whole list of don'ts for our own good. And then he said, God bless the Sabbath. What he was saying to bend is we do that because we are showing preference. When people came into the presence of a king, what did they do? They would bow. They would bend down. When we come into the presence of God, what are we supposed to do? Bow, bend down, show that our heart is surrendered and yielded. That's what the whole concept is here. So for the Sabbath day, I need to be bending my will to God's will. Why? Because it's been set aside. The scripture defines it, and this is one of the other things I found interesting. You see, the day, the term day in the Bible can mean a bunch of different things. Okay? It can mean a particular point in time, or it can mean a sphere of time. And depending on the context, that sphere of time could be from what we understand as a single point, a 1 minute, to a whole year. The sabbatical year was a whole year. And yet they use that term day in that definition. Okay? So, what does the scripture here in our context say? The seventh day. And it is in Genesis, or this is in Exodus. We go back to Genesis to get an understanding of what the original day was. It was from sundown to sundown. That's how the day was. And that's what the Hebrew understanding of a particular day, for example, the seventh day, was from sundown to sundown. Now, you'll notice the sermon topic says, reaping what has been sown. I want us to understand that the Sabbath was made for us. God sowed a special, special time with Him. Can you have a special time with God on Tuesday? Yes. Can you have a special time with God other times throughout the week? Yes. And I pray that you're doing that because God wants a constant time. But He said, this is a time where you're not going to have to deal with work and all of those worries, because this time I've set aside so you and I can walk together. The very first Sabbath day, Adam and Eve were walking together with God. So guys, when you saw the sun go down, I want you to start picturing your walking with Him. And I want you to think about what you need to do to walk with Him. I've told you what I'm doing to help me walk with Him starting at sundown. But your day may not look like mine at all. There may be something else. Now, I want us to jump over to Isaiah chapter 58, if you would. Verses 13 and 14. I'm reading out of the King James Version this morning. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then. So we're going to stop. This is one of those scriptures that we call the if-then clause of scripture. It says, if you will do this, then this is what's going to happen. So, we're again making a definition. We look at the context, okay? We're talking about a particular day, the Sabbath, the seventh day, sundown Friday night to sundown Sabbath night. And He says, stop doing your own thing. Stop delighting in your own things. What? Treat it with honor. What does it mean to honor? Is it honorable if my parents told me not to smoke and I went out and tried it? Okay. You all know the obvious answer. And I have to share, yes, I tried it. One time, choked to death, thought, why would anyone do this, okay? Some of these things we just can't seem to believe that our parents know what they're talking about. All right? Anyway, honoring means to look for what God set it aside for. What did He set it aside for? For holiness. Holiness. What does it mean to be holy? All right? It means that it was set apart, that it's sacred. Sacred means that what are we going to allow in? Only God things. So the Sabbath was set apart so that you and I would have time to have only God things. All right? Now, if you do that, then you shall delight in the Lord. Did you ever think about that? When is it that I get excited about my Christianity? I get excited when I sit through a Sabbath school class that I just sat through and my heart was touched and challenged and chastised. I get excited about that. I get excited when the scripture all of a sudden jumps up and it's like it's speaking. And I've read that verse 1,000 times, but all of a sudden it makes sense. And it's saying that there's something in me that I can do differently. I get excited about that. I get excited when I see the scripture saying that people can be set free. Do you get excited about that? That people don't have to live in bondage anymore. Jesus came to set them free. I get excited. Okay? That's what it says. I'm going to get excited. And why? Because of who God is, what He's doing, what He can do, what He will do. That's exciting. And I'm going to delight in that. And then He says, I'm going to cause you, when you're doing this, to ride upon the high places of the earth. Now, for us, that's really a strange thing. When you think of the high places of the earth, what comes to mind? Mountains. Okay. All right. Think about the mindset of the Jewish people. Where was it that they saw God? Mount Sinai. This is where they were introduced to God. In their concept, the high places was a special place to meet with God. And that's what it's saying. I will cause you to ride on those, and you're going to meet with me. And what's beautiful is that that's not limited to the Sabbath day. Because I am doing what I should do on the Sabbath day, I will then have this blessing where I can commune and walk in the high places every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then He says something that, again, I think we just don't really, has no meaning to us. He says, and I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob. All right. What was the heritage of Jacob? What's a heritage? Okay. It's something you receive from someone else, your father. All right. Let's go back to Jacob for a moment. Let's think about Jacob, okay? You find that in Genesis 27. All right. Let's start off with this story. Jacob and Esau. What do we know happened? Esau was the older brother. What was he supposed to receive? He was supposed to receive the inheritance from his father. Esau was so hungry that he gave up his birthright to his brother for porridge. All right. So now, no longer is Esau going to receive the inheritance, but Jacob will. But, you see, this is another thing that we don't think about. Not only was there the birthright that Jacob was going to now receive, but there was a blessing that the father would give to his children. The firstborn would receive the birthright, but then he would give a blessing to the other children. Guess what? Esau missed out again. This one, not through his own fault. but through the conniving of his mother, Jacob's mother. And remember, he has to put on the hairy cloth on his arms because Esau was very hairy. Okay? I'm more like Jacob, not too hairy. Especially not, and this is what I find interesting, they took the fleece of an animal. Can you imagine being that hairy? Esau really had to be hairy. Anyway, Jacob goes in. His father feels him. He's got Esau's clothes on. His father smells him. He smells like his brother and he feels like his brother. And then this is what he does. The blessing he places upon Jacob. Chapter 27, verses 28 and 29. Therefore, God, give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that cursed you and blessed be everyone that blesses you. Do you hear that? That is the inheritance that Jacob received, both the birthright and the blessing. And he says, when we use the Sabbath the way we're supposed to, you're going to ride on the heights and I'm going to give you the blessing of Jacob. Guys, sometimes we forget what God wants to give us. And when we forget, and when we don't ask, we don't receive. Now, do I understand how that's going to be play out in my life specifically? No. I'm not driving a Mercedes. I don't really want to drive a Mercedes. But God says that Jacob's inheritance was going to be more than just poverty. But I want us to recognize that God also wants to make sure, and in the blessing, what he's going to give us is to make sure that our heart is where it needs to be. And our physical things that we receive from these other blessings are going to be in line with where our heart is. So many times I have heard of people who understand that God has given them money so that they can bless others. They are not selfish with what the Lord has given them. Their heart is right before God and with mankind. So I want us to understand that there are many reasons that sometimes we don't have this blessing. One, we haven't asked, and two, our heart's not where it needs to be. We're not ready to receive. So my challenge this morning is, let's get ourselves to where our hearts need to be. Let's get our mindsets where they need to be. Let's start walking the walk that we need to walk, not only in regards to the Sabbath. We're going to go on next week with more of the Ten Commandments. We're going to look at what God says now is supposed to be our relationship with our brothers. But this morning I really pray that the Holy Spirit will touch our hearts. That we will allow the Holy Spirit to quicken us and to challenge us and to make changes that we may need to make. The Sabbath is one of those that is pretty specific. And then I want you to take these things and put them in context with the way that Jesus observed the Sabbath. Jesus' observance of the Sabbath was not with all the list of don'ts, but with all the list of do's. These don'ts are to protect it and give us the time. Jesus did all the don'ts. But he didn't stop with the don'ts, he did the do's. All right, I know that's bad grammar. But that's what you got this morning. A lesson in bad grammar. All right, let's get beyond the don'ts and get to the do's, not forgetting the don'ts, but being enriched and protected by the don'ts and being blessed and walking on the heights with the do's. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the work of the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the mercy that caused that work. And Lord, we thank you for the victory that was won on the cross where you said, "It is finished." We thank you that you have given victory over death. You have given victory over sin. You have given us victory over the devil himself, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.